From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Tuesday, September 22nd. Today on the podcast...
Almost every single patient that comes in asks me about the vaccine.
First, today's headlines.
The Department of Health reported 4 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The new cases are in Bennington, Washington, Lamoille, and Orange counties. More than 1,500 people in Vermont have recovered from COVID-19, and 2 people are in the hospital with the disease.
Meanwhile, Quebec is seeing a significant increase in new COVID-19 cases. The province reported 586 new cases yesterday, its highest daily increase since May, according to the CBC. Provincial health officials say Quebec has hit a second wave of the virus. They've announced several new public health rules in certain areas. Private gatherings are limited to no more than 6 people, and bars and restaurants must stop serving alcohol at 11 p.m.
November 3rd is still over a month away, but voting for the general election in Vermont has begun. All active registered voters are being sent a ballot in the mail this week. Ballots should be distributed to all voters in about a week. Voters can mail the ballots back to their town clerks, they can drop them off at the clerk's office, or they can choose to cast their ballots in person on Election Day.
When the nation's top expert on infectious disease joined Governor Phil Scott in last week's COVID-19 press conference, a key part of his message was to reassure the public about the safety of an eventual vaccine for the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci told Vermonters that if a vaccine is approved, he'd take it. But as Nina Keck reports, a new VPR Vermont PBS poll indicates that less than half of Vermonters feel the same way.
The question in VPR's poll was this: when a vaccine becomes available, how eager or reticent would you be to get it as early as possible? 48% said they would be very or somewhat eager to take the vaccine, while 43% leaned the other way, saying they would be somewhat or very reticent. 9% weren't sure or refused to answer.
Almost every single patient that comes in asks me about the vaccine. And oftentimes, the first question they give me is, will you take the vaccine?
This is Dr. Peter Hogenkamp. He and his wife have shared a family medicine practice in Rutland for more than 20 years. And together, they treat about 4,000 patients. When those patients ask about COVID-19 vaccines, Hogenkamp tells them he'll trust any that become federally approved.
The return question I always give them is, what about you? How do you feel about taking the vaccine? And as of 3 or 4 months ago, my wife and I were kind of doing this poll at our office, and we felt like about 70% of our patients were saying yes. But recently, it's 1 out of 2 at best. A lot of patients are losing faith in the vaccine because of political issues.
Results from VPR's new poll reflect that lack of confidence. Data was collected the first 2 weeks of September, and the poll's margin of error is 4%. Attitudes about the vaccine were fairly consistent across Vermont, though there were some differences. People in southern Vermont were least likely to say they'd get vaccinated. Just 37% said they were eager, compared with 61% of Chittenden County residents. Men were more willing to take the vaccine than women, and Democrats were a little more eager than Republicans or independents. How much schooling people have also impacted their answers in the VPR poll. 39% of those with a high school education said they were eager to take the vaccine, but that number jumped to 59% among those with a college or graduate degree. Nicole Valcour, however, is leery of poll numbers on a vaccine this early.
Because the time has not come when people are actually being asked to take it.
Valcour is a nurse case manager at the People's Health and Wellness Clinic in Barrie, one of a network of free health clinics in Vermont.
There's enough fear in the community. All of our patients have been so good about masking, about social distancing, about paying attention to what has to be done. My guess is that when the time comes, they'll weigh the pros and cons, and hopefully the messaging will be good, and hopefully it'll be a good vaccine. And we'll see exactly how they feel about it.
Valcour believes when she's sitting across from patients and recommending they get vaccinated, most will. Peter Hogenkamp explained that Vermont could achieve herd immunity without every single person getting the vaccine, but he pointed to the seasonal flu as an analogy. While he recommends everyone get a flu shot, he says fewer than half his patients do, and he ends up treating a lot of flu cases.
So the 50% number isn't enough. So to answer your question, I am worried about that. And I really wish the whole, I wish they would depoliticize this whole vaccine issue. It's a great misfortune that we've politicized the COVID vaccine, because if the studies come out and the studies show, as I think they will, I'm confident that they will, that this vaccine works, I want people to take it. It could be the most effective vaccine on the face of the earth. If people aren't taking it, it's not going to work.
For VPR News, I'm Nina Kack.
So it's once again time for America's favorite podcast segment. Bonus data.
Oh, I missed it. So as we just learned from Nina, VPR and Vermont PBS are releasing our latest poll today. There are a lot of election questions, along with stuff about the pandemic, marijuana, schools, and more. The newsroom will be doing a bunch of stories based on the results this week, but there's more than we can get to, so we'll be breaking down some of the questions on this podcast every day.
All right, so for today's piece of bonus data, we'll note that the presidential race in Vermont looks almost exactly like it did 4 years ago. According to our poll, former Vice President Joe Biden is beating President Donald Trump 56% to 32% in Vermont. And those numbers are almost identical to the results of Trump versus Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. So though it's been a fairly eventful 4 years, not much has really changed in terms of Vermonters' views on presidential politics. Trump is more popular with men than women, and he does much better with people who have a high school degree or less than he does with Vermonters with bachelor's degrees. And that concludes today's segment of Bonus Data. Join us tomorrow for more.
Thank you, Henry. All right. As I'm sure you've heard by now, President Trump says he'll nominate a replacement for the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg as soon as this week, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to bring that nominee up for a confirmation vote as soon as possible. McConnell, of course, refused to hold a vote on President Barack Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland, for nearly a year after Justice Antonin Scalia died in 2016. And Democrats are arguing that his push now to confirm a Trump nominee just weeks before the election is the height of hypocrisy.
Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy is one of those Democrats, and he was on Vermont Edition yesterday to talk about this. Leahy serves on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and host Jane Lindholm asked him to clarify when exactly is the right time for the Senate to confirm a Supreme Court justice. So here's part of their interview.
Senator Leahy, if the fight over Merrick Garland hadn't happened at the end of the Obama presidency, in other words, if Democrats couldn't now say, oh, Republicans set the bar on this one, they've already set precedent, you need to wait for the next president to be voted on, so then it could be the sitting president or it could be Joe Biden. But if the Republicans hadn't sort of set that precedent with Merrick Garland, would you think the nominating process should still be in President Trump's hands? I mean, isn't that what you said in the Merrick Garland nominating process?
If we had time, but when you have something that's just a few weeks before the election, where it's obvious the president wants to distract from the fact that he has done a terrible job with COVID, we have a couple hundred thousand Americans who've died, there's going to be more. They blocked any COVID relief, and as a result, look at even today, the stock market has crashed. It was down 700 or 800 points, and they don't want to talk about that. I think what has happened is that the Republicans have treated this as a totally political thing. They politicized the Supreme Court, and here, Justice Ginsburg hadn't even been buried, and they're pushing forward, ignoring this great woman and saying, here, we got to get somebody through who will do what Donald Trump wants him to. I think that creates a problem even more than the Merrick Garland thing.
But what would the right date be then for when it's not appropriate for the Senate to have confirmation hearings during an election year? Because, you know, Merrick Garland, it certainly was several months, I think it was 9 months before the election. This is less than 6 weeks, but it's still, you know, in terms of the way it may have worked in the past or the idea of what could happen, a president can nominate someone when they're the sitting president, whether it's close or far from an election. So, like, what's the cutoff date?
Well, a sitting president could nominate somebody on the eve of the inauguration for another president they want, but it's not apt to happen. The thing is...
But, I mean, when should senators say, we're not going to hold a confirmation hearing until after the election?
Well, I think today it would be a good time because we don't even have time to do it. They would have to ram this thing through, and they'd have to shortcut the hearing, shortcut the background. I mean, the average takes over 70 days. You've got senators going to be off campaigning, both parties. Look at Kavanaugh, it was 50 days before the committee had a hearing announced that all these things turned up in his background. You've got to have time. If the average time for a background in the modern day is 70 days, we'll use that as a template. But I think at least show the decency to wait till Justice Ginsburg is buried before you make what has already been announced will be a totally political appointment.
Well, Senator Leahy, I appreciate you speaking with us today and appreciate your time. I know you have a lot to do on the Senate floor today, so I want to thank you for your time, and we'll continue this show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. You know, it's interesting because I voted on every member who was there before the Supreme Court. I voted for Republican nominees and against Republican nominees, but I've always thought that was important to do, and I voted on a whole lot of members who are no longer there, like John Paul Stevens, the first one I voted on, that was a Gerald Ford nominee. And you at least felt you had time to talk about them. I have never, in all my years in the Senate, seen a political spectacle made of a Supreme Court nominee like this. And I think the country is going to be damaged for years to come, no matter who is president, because of it.
Wow, that's quite a statement. Damaged for years to come.
Yep. Take care.
You too. Senator Patrick Leahy, Vermont's senior senator, thank you very much for your time.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Karen Anderson and Bob Kinzel. The episode of Vermont Edition was produced by Matt Smith.
If you have any feedback on the air horn sounds you heard in today's episode, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org or find us on Twitter at @thefrequencyvpr. Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.